All right, I think we left off. We were going to start Ecclesiastes 2 and verse number 9, and in more details here. So he says, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me." Now, that statement, if you pair that with Romans 11, I believe it's verse 32, the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God's not going to change His mind. Repentance means to change your mind, a turn from. God will give you a gift and He'll let you have it. That's how come you got preachers, they'll be preaching for years and years and all of a sudden come up and they've been doing who knows what for all them years. Souls getting saved and work getting done and sermons just going out. Why? Because if God gives a man a gift, he don't necessarily have to take it from him. Most time the man will take it from his own self or disqualify his own self. But that's why you got to be real careful. He's thinking, well, my wisdom remain with me. Well, we're looking at this book, and everything he's looking at is under the sun. And under the sun, if you look at it, what's that earthly perspective? Yeah, his earthly wisdom, he's still gaining knowledge and gaining facts and able to learn, able to have court cases and stuff like that. Excellent wisdom there as far as being able to discern some good and evil. But toward God, he's just as confused as he can be. He's a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Well, as we're reading and we go through this book, he's going to gradually get back to a right state of mind, but he's recalling events as he had to get back to a right state of mind. Why? And most of this, he's just backslidden as he could be. That's how come you got a little bit of a couple of these things. There's some pretty good stuff, and some of it, you're only seeing one side of it. Why? Yeah, okay. Earthly perspective, Saul was great. Yeah, he was. But great in whose eyes?
That's right.
See, the thing is, there's a lot of great people that the world speaks of today. That's like some of these actors and actresses, these Hollywood actors. A lot of those people, man, they got all kinds of fame. So they're great, but whose eyes are they great in? Are they great in this world or the world to come? See, he says, so I was great. Okay, well, earthly, yeah. And increased more than all they were. Yeah, he had built the temple and everything. And man, that's all wonderful. Okay, well, what are you doing beyond that? See, the thing that you have to take away as you're reading this is you may do some things that are necessary for being here on earth. Every one of us have got to work. Every one of us got to pay bills. Every one of us got things that we have to tend to and things like that. But what are you doing that's going to go after you're gone? That's going to keep going. You know what that's going to be? Things you did for the Lord. Things you did to help other people and stuff like that. Things you did where you yielded to God instead of your flesh. That's what's going to go on out there further than the eye can see. Further than underneath this sun. Further than an earthly perspective. So he says in verse 10, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." Okay, well, there's a good way to go broke right there. Both physically and spiritually. You know what? You got people today, they'll rack up all kind of debt and not even think anything about it.
That's right.
And I mean, I don't know anybody's personal business here or nothing like it, but I know as far as America in general, the average, I was reading one of them things Dave Ramsey put out, and the average, which this was been years ago now, the average credit card debt is anywhere from $25,000 to $30,000. What? I mean, now look, I have seen. There was a guy in college. He got in a pretty bad mess, and he had to put some things on the credit card and slowly pay that thing off. And I can understand something like that. I mean, he got in a really bad situation, not telling his business or nothing like that. But he had to do that. I understand that. But just to go blow your money and say, hey, we're gonna go to. We know some people. You ever wonder how some of these people take vacations all the time? You ever been invited hey man, we're going to Biloxi this weekend. We're going to Missouri this weekend. We're going to Nashville this other weekend. Won't y'all come? How are you taking all them vacation? What they do? Just putting it up on credit card, credit card, credit card. One day come up, man, we in bad mess. What's done happened? We done racked up all this money on these credit cards. Just out. You know what you're doing? You're doing with this verse, whatever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Okay, well, that's a good way to ruin it.
That's right.
You know what's wrong with a lot of Americans today? That anything they want, they just go get it right then, no matter what the consequences are. And you know what that does? That puts you in debt.
Yes, it does.
And you know what? The borrower is servant to the lender. And you know what that is? Debt is bondage. And the more, and what's happening, a lot of these kids, see, this is the trouble. I know I've told y'all this, but it bears repeating. There, you take a couple, and they work hard, and man, they buy a house, and it takes years to pay that house off, and they buy them some cars, and they get those cars paid off, and they buy them a tiller, and they start putting things up in the barn. After about 15 or 20 years, you got several things out in your shed and stuff like that. Well, a kid gets up, you know, 16, 18 years old, and comes out there and goes, man, look what all this stuff Mom and Daddy's got. I want that. And they just run out here and think they would buy this, that, and that. Well, it took them 20 years to get it. It took them a long time to get that house. It took them a long time to have it. They want it right now. And I'll tell you what, it's destroying. It's destroying a generation. Because you know what they're doing? That's like right now. If you want to go to college, look, have at it, just go to college. I'm not saying don't go to college. But at the same time, I'm not going to encourage a lot of people to go to college, just go down there and just get a degree and something, who knows what, just be going and rack up $100,000 of debt and stuff like that. And then you get out and what are you doing? Go to something specific if you're going to go. But you know what? There's a lot of people go to these trade schools and stuff like that. I got a buddy. He went and learned underwater welding. That guy makes, as good of money as most people that go to college and get a big degree. I tell you something, some of these underwater welders make $200,000 a year. I'm going to tell you something, that's pretty good money. Huh? They just drop down there and make some patches and stuff like it, come back up, but they get paid for it. But what I'm saying is this. We're living in a time now to where people think, whatever I want, I need to get that right now. And God don't work that way. You know what it's going to take to get wisdom and get knowledge and get understanding? It's going to take time. You actually have to sit down for a little while and bow your head and look and read and look at this, turn this back and forth. And if you come to church, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to sit down and be still for about 45 minutes to an hour. Well, the world don't want to do that for God. Now, they'll watch 2 or 3 hours of television and sit there and look like this right here. But you know what? Feeding the flesh is easy. It's feeding the spirit that's hard. And see, he said, I kept not whatever mine eyes desired, I kept that from them. Okay, well, mess your family up, mess your marriage up, mess your friendships up and everything else. That's what that'll do. He says, I withheld not mine heart, not my heart from any joy. Okay, well, drain yourself out on false joy and see what kind of real joy you have. You know how come a lot of people can't enjoy what we're doing tonight? It's because they've did this right here, and they can't find joy in the things they should find joy in. That's when people get hooked on all kinds of other stuff. You take this pornography industry today, you know what happens? They drain their flesh out on all that stuff, and they can't enjoy pure things. You know what happens in all kind of other things too? People drain their minds out on the world. You take somebody. I'm not saying, I'm not telling you what kind of music to listen to. I'm not your boss or nothing like that. I'm just telling you from the Bible. It's good to listen to some spiritual songs. Why? Because if you listen all week long to some of this crazy stuff that people listen to, you come in here, you've drained it all out. You can't enjoy spiritual songs. Now you wonder why a lot of the youth and stuff like that don't like, Jesus keep me near the cross and all this type of stuff, because the world has lied to them, and they love lies. You know, okay, well, the world says, well, there's a stairway to heaven. No, Jesus said, I am the door. All right, so that's wrong, isn't it? All right, well, highway to hell, okay, all my friends are going to be there. Well, they may be there, but you're not going to be able to see them, and you're not going to care if they're there anyway. Well, all you're doing is burning in agony. You know, you get all this stuff out here, and what happens is people listen to that stuff, and it drains them dry.
That's right.
You know how to have joy? That Bible tells you that the joy, your strength is tied up with the Lord, your relationship to the Lord. And you know what's wrong with a lot of folks is they lose their real joy because they stop their fellowshipping with the Lord.
That's right.
Solomon is drunk. Why, he's trying to get it everywhere else. You know what the thing about and the more I read this is, you could have joy in all the other things if you'll put the Lord first. Then you can enjoy the things. I mean, that's like you take people who's got these hobbies and stuff like that. I know people's got all kind of different hobbies. Nothing wrong with shooting pool. I got a buddy, he loves to shoot pool. Well, if you put the Lord first, you can shoot pool. But if you shoot pool all the time, you never do anything for the Lord, you're going to feel guilty in the back of your mind. Why? Because you know you should be serving the Lord some. But if you serve the Lord like you're supposed to, when it comes time to shoot pool, you can enjoy the pool.
That's right.
See? Okay, he said, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor for a time, and this was my portion of all my labor. Hold on just a minute. This was my portion. Let's look at two places here. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 22. Says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now we'll deal with that in detail later, but he's saying that's your portion. All right, rejoice in your labor. All right, then he says in chapter 5, verse number 18, he says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh unto the son all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. I wrote a note in my Bible, if joy and enjoyment is all you get from labor, you've missed it.
That's right. You have.
If that's all you get from your labor, let me give you a couple verses Paul gives you here to tell you how to enjoy your labor. 1 Corinthians 15. These are familiar verses, but I think this is good. Well, I'd like for y'all to enjoy what you do. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 15. Why? Because, look, you think everybody's going to be able to find a job they like to do? Just can't wait to go to work. There's some people do. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I enjoy polishing metal. It's fun to me. Now, why? I don't know. But I enjoy it. Okay, well, what about some of these people live in a communist country where they don't even get to choose their job? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with some of these people who don't have some of the opportunities? And man, some of these people, they just scratching to find something to sell or something like that. What are you going to do with that? Why, if God has got something for them to do where they can enjoy what they're doing, if their perspective is right, we can do things and still have joy. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what Solomon's going to say here in a little bit? Vanity. Again, after he said that right there, he's going to say it's in vain. Well, it's not vain if it's in the Lord. See, this is what the world, the flesh, and the devil, and under the sun want to tell you. You're going to work, and what good are you doing when you're going there? What good is it anyway? You see, that's under the sun. That's an earthly perspective. But that verse says completely opposite to what he's going to say here in a minute about vanity. If you're doing it in the Lord, even if you're working in a sweat factory, even if you're working at a place in a communist country where you can't choose your job, if it's in the Lord, look, I'm working for the Lord anyway. One of these days, I'm going to come in here with a good attitude till one of these days I see the Lord and He's going to reward me for doing the best I can with what I have.
Amen.
And God will take care of that stuff.
That's right, my brother.
Some people just don't have that luxury. There's people, that's like right now, I don't care much for paying taxes, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay taxes. Why? Because it's right to do. You get. I like riding around on roads and stuff like that without great big old potholes. I saw a video somebody sent me the other day. It's one of these countries that they don't have the same setup we have and things like that. But this car's going down the road, and I'm not kidding you, the pothole, there's a pothole like this right here, and the car hits that pothole, and when it bounces back up and comes back down, the bumper comes off that car and everything else. And say, well, that's what kind of streets are. Now, look, we can complain all we want to, but other than these three big dips we got in on Highway 5, but one of these days, somebody will fix them. I tell you something, man, what was it? Was it us? It was going and seeing that guy that was pulling that trailer, and that trailer hit the... Well, anyway, I've got behind a few people now on the way home, and when they hit that dip in that road, man, you're talking about bouncing that thing. I guess they're not ready for it. But you imagine doing that every day? I mean, hey, if y'all have been, I don't know how many of y'all have been to Hickory Flat down there around some of those streets down by my shop, where they've put those great big old yellow speed bumps at. It is so funny. I mean, I've been parking trucks and stuff, and that one that's down by the church, you know, because you got my shop here and then the church, and they got one of those big old, and man, I'll be pulling trucks around sometime, and I see somebody coming by and they don't know it. Boom, they hit that thing, about bounces them out of the road. But you know what? We've got things like that, and thank the Lord that we've got little things like a paved highway. Well, you know what happens? You get the wrong attitude and you'll start thinking, well, that's just vanity and everything. You probably got it a whole lot better than you think you do. Yeah. And even if you're living in a place where it's awful, if you're saved, at least you know where you're going and you know you're going to have it great one of these days. I want to give you a couple more of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this thing. I want you to know something. Sometimes, I mentioned a little bit Sunday, but in conversations, When you're talking to people, a lot of times you realize that there's a spirit about things, and there's a lot of people out there that's just upset about, they just literally feel like they're not doing any good. Sometimes I just go to work and say, man, I just feel like I'm really not achieving anything. You know, and they get that mindset, and before long, they're just like, man, it's just vain. You know, they may not say it like that, but they're like, I just feel like I'm not getting anything done. And you get that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says this, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, I'm accepted in the beloved, but I'm talking, this context here is when we seem in the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because the next verse says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what you're doing? You're laboring. Why? Because one of these days you want what you do for him here to be accepted. You've got a purpose in your labor here. Why? It's not in vain in the Lord. And whatever you do, when you get to that judgment seat of Christ, he's going to count it and put it to your account, and it'll come out as gold, silver, and precious stone. That's worthy to work for. Well, I don't like what I'm doing. Okay, well, I'm going to try to have a good attitude doing what I'm doing, because God's counting even having a good attitude in a bad environment, and God will put that in the fire, and it'll go longer and further than ever I could ever think. I know that's not good English, but I was trying to word it in my mind. All right, let me give you another one here. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's another good one. I know these are familiar, but they're fun to look at. Maybe give you some encouragement about labor. Why? Because he's got to the place where he's got all this stuff and everything, but he's thinking, well, this is just my portion, my labor, and that's all I get. No, it's more to it than that. It's a lot more to it. Ephesians 4 verse number 28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Right. See, he's saying it's good to work with, it's good to do some work. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Right. So what's the purpose for working? For one thing, here, to avoid sin so you don't give place to the devil. I got to stop and preach a minute. You don't want to know why so many people are giving over the devil? Because they're not working. Yeah.
Right.
You know what would help this world a whole lot? Is get off their lazy behind and go to work, and you wouldn't have time to do all this junk.
That's right.
Some of these kids, I get so aggravated at them. I got one boy I'm dealing with some. I'm trying to work him a little bit. It's hard to find help. Can't have show up on time, nothing else. I had work for him to do Saturday. If he hears this sermon, I don't care. I'd tell him to his face because I did. He said, "Man, I want some extra hours. Is there any way I could work some extra?" I said, "All right, I'll get you some trucks to wash Saturday." Well, I tried to call him, everything else, text, called, everything. Nothing. So finally, I started washing, got done washing. So he got there late in the day. I forget exactly which time late. I was finishing up. I had the leaf. I don't dry the trucks anymore. I had the leaf blower on my back, and I dry them with the leaf blower. And so I was finishing up. He walked up. He said, "Hey, boss, man, I'm ready to get started." I said, "Get started?" I said, "Man, I done started and finished." And I was a little bit aggravated. I said, "You can go back to the house, boy." Well, I told him, I said, "You need to know something. In this world right here, this world's not going to wait around on you. If you tell a man you're going to be somewhere, and you tell a man you're going to be working there, and you're ready to work, and you tell him to line you up work, you better be there." "Well, boss man, I just figured we, you know, had all afternoon." I said, "No, we ain't got all afternoon. I try to get my work done, go to the house."
Amen.
Well, that's the mentality, is they've been raised thinking they can just do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And this is a sad thing. You take these older generations and bless their heart, they had to work and they had to get it and stuff like that. And this is what happens. They get older and they say, "Well, I don't want them to have to struggle like I did," and stuff like that. And we make it too easy on the following generation. And guess what happened? Then they, "Well, I broke a nail." Man, if you see some of the hours, you know, you could take some of these, "Well, I worked 8 hours a day." Man, there's been generation, they worked 12 and 14 hours every day. Not to, and some of them had to work on Sunday and stuff like that, go months without a day off. "I ain't had a day off in 2 weeks." You know what that is? That's a sign of a lazy generation. And you know what they're going to do? They're not work. Ephesians 4:28 tells you, you can work so you can help other folks out. You'll have a little bit of spare money. You have some money put back so if somebody gets in a tight or something like that, you can help them out. Why? It's good to be able to help folks.
That's right.
But you can't help people if all you're doing is sitting around the house not doing anything. And see, that's one of the biggest trouble. Why? Look at that context again in Ephesians chapter 4. This is the principle in Ephesians 4 of substitution is being taught. Why? Because he's telling you verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Why? Get a better mind, a better attitude about things. And verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." This is not a false holiness here, true holiness. Okay, what's he about to teach you? He's about to teach you substitution. Why? If you quit something, don't just quit it. Quit it and replace it with something. You know what happens a lot of people do? They quit something and they don't replace it with anything. Man, I tell you something. That's why I'm not rough on smokers and stuff like that so much. Why? I know it's hard to quit. But if you're going to quit doing something like that, you have to replace it with something else. Some of these people, "Yeah, they quit smoking." Oh, you better be real careful. Why? You need to quit your overeating too. See how hard that is. Stuff's hard. It's easier said than done.
Yes, it is.
And so I've heard preachers, "Ain't no way." I heard one preacher say, "Ain't no way you'd be full of the Spirit if you're full of unholy smoke." Well, there's a lot of people that have different smoke other than just smoke like that. A lot of them full of hot air. Why? What was that? Why you need to tell people, if you're going to quit something, the way to quit it is replace it with something else. Replace. You can't just quit cold turkey on things. He's teaching you how to quit things here. He says, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Substitute lying with truth. He says, "For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Why would it help you? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. You need to replace stealing. Stealing time from your boss. Playing on the cell phone. You're supposed to be working and stuff like that. A lot of these people, "Well, I'm better than so-and-so. I can't believe they do this, that, and other." Yeah, but you steal from your boss all the time. You see how people do? See, we don't read that Bible near as close as we think we do. The more you read that Bible, you realize there's God got your number somewhere. Now, what am I showing you? That whole thing about working. If you'll work, he said, neither give place to the devil. Then the next thing he says is work. You know what that does? That keeps the devil from having so much time to deal with you. There's nothing wrong with getting alone with God and have some alone time, but too much alone time will destroy you. Some of these people got entirely too much time on their hands. And I'll tell you something. It's good to go to bed and be tired. It is good, man. Are you talking about getting some good sleep after you've had a good hard day of work? It's good to go home and say, "Man, I am ready to lay down." Now, some of the kids stay out. I was talking to one boy. Man said he stayed up to 4:30. The other morning I said, 4:30? Man, no, if I knew I had to get up. I guarantee you, yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying. All right, so I wanted to show you. I want to show you another about this labor here. I didn't mean to get to preaching, but anyway, it happened. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. I do want these to be a blessing to you, though. Man, I tell you something. Once you ever get the principle that you're working for God and not for man, you can enjoy anything you do. You really can. Philippians 2. And look at verse number 25. He says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Look at that guy right there being a companion of Paul in labor. Do you realize that some people who won't do anything and all they want to do is have things handed to them, they miss out on great fellowships and great companionships in the Lord? It's a sad thing at the people. I know if they would start coming to church and be a part of a fellowship, they'd love it. They'd love it. I'll tell you, I enjoy fellowship with y'all. I enjoy seeing how your week's been and stuff like that right there. Why? I know there's other people out there just crazy as I am. Why? You're trying to enjoy the Lord no matter what goes on. It's a blessing to know that there's other people out there that think this right here. I don't care what goes on with the government and all the world and everything else. When I know the Lord is in control and He's actually the one in charge, and if it happens anyway, it come across His desk anyway, Look, every blade of grass that blows in the wind, God knows about it. Yes, He does. And if God knows about it anyway, what can I do about it? The best thing I can do is yield to Him and do my part and protect my pea patch like that old boy did over there in Samuel. And you know what our job is? To do what we can do with Him working in and through us and let everything else be up to Him while He's handling it. He was handling it before I was here and He's handling it after I'm gone. This man right here was a fellow soldier with the Lord in labor. And it wasn't in vain why he made some good friendships. He's associated with Apostle Paul. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Man, I thought I was going to get further than this, but I hope y'all getting some help out of it, maybe. I don't know. Look at Colossians 2. And I thought it was verse 9. I may have a scribal error there. Colossians 2, I thought I had a reference to him laboring in there. I have lost. Does anybody know where that verse is over in Colossians? I'll find it as soon as I get to the house. All right, well, let me try the next one then. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry about that. I'll find it when I get to the house. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's a real good one right here. Here's a motive for service right here. It's faith working by love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Isn't that a blessing? Faith will produce the right kind of works. It says, and labor of love. It's a labor of love. Why? If you don't love the Lord in your labor, you're not going to stay in it anyhow.
Right.
You know what's wrong with a lot of people? Why they just quit doing anything they do? Is because your love is wrong with the Lord. Well, look, here's another thing about reading your Bible, praying, everything. I'll mention it in sermons and stuff like that. But the main thing is you get your fellowship with the Lord, right? Well, if you're fellowshipping with the Lord, you don't have to have a man simper and tell you, pray and read your Bible and pray and read your Bible all the time. Why? Because fellowship with the Lord consists of praying and reading your Bible. Because you love Him. Look, there's going to come a time when our kids and all, other people's kids and stuff like that, they're not going to be around us or anything. If they don't develop that fellowship, you cannot make them do something they don't want to do. It's got to be a labor of love. You're doing it because you love God, not because you have to. Do you know, I hope this don't come across wrong. I'm not trying to be mean. Do you know I don't have to preach another sermon if I don't want to? If I don't want to, I don't have to finish this. You're going to do what you want to do. I could close my Bible and say, all right, we'll see y'all, and just be done. But I love the Lord, man. I want to do something for the Lord with this little old life, because it just goes by just like that. And I said, Lord, if I could say one more thing to bring you glory, say, man, teach one more lesson. Why, it's fun to me to study for these lessons. Man, this stuff, I hope maybe something was a help. Because I'm telling you, I get in this stuff and I get to thinking about all the things I've been reading about and stuff, and it starts coming together and you just love it. It's not because you have to do it. It's because, man, ain't it fun to come and just try your best to say something that'll give glory, honor, and praise the Lord. And it's not tiresome. Man, I can read my Bible tired, but it's not the same kind of tired. Because when you're doing something you don't love to do, it just drags you down. So you know what the best thing Christians can do? Fall in love with the Lord, and you won't never work a day. You can be working for the Lord. I'm talking about, you ever done something and been glad you done it, even though you're tired as you can be at the end of it? Because you love it. There's things, y'all, we've done things for the Lord, and y'all know especially, you'll have, maybe you're helping somebody, and you went up there, and there's people, some of these, I don't know if it's Mennonites or Amish or something, but they'll go help one another. Put these houses up. And they all want to do it. And it's a blessing to be able to do it and stuff like that. They're not even tired after all that work. Right. Well, if you're laboring for the Lord, it's a labor of love. It's not the same kind of tired. It's kind of like, my mind just left me there. Which one was working for Rachel? Carla, which one was it? Jacob. Why did I wanted to say Joe? Jacob. And he worked for her for 7 more years, and it seemed just like a few days. Why? He was doing it because he loved her. When you're doing things because you love the Lord, time will just fly by. You know why some of you look back, you take some of these Christians and stuff like that, and they say, man, time just has went. Why? Because you've probably enjoyed a great portion of your life. You talk to some of these people that's not saved, and life's just a drag, man. It's just sag, bag, and drag, you know. Just one of these, man. It's just almost like they're bitter about how things have happened. You ever been around some of the people? They're just bitter about everything. You know what? It's not like that when you're laboring for the Lord. Let me give you this last one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. There's more in there, but these are some of the ones that.
I think your Colossians was 4:12.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out here in just a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17. It says, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. What you do in your Bible study is going to be counted. Now, I know the context here is elders. But the Bible teaches you we're supposed to read and study the Word. That's all Christians. And you know what? Time you have spent in the Word of God is never wasted time while God's counting it. If all you do is get up in the morning, you just do your little old devotion in the morning, stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something. Laboring in Word and doctrine is worth every single second you can spend. And don't think for a minute, us getting together tonight and stuff like that. Don't think for a minute. God knows that if you wanted to, you could be doing something else. But you said, you know what? I'd like to learn a little Bible. Maybe something was learned. But anyway, I sometimes feel like I get on a tangent. Let me try that Colossians 4:17 on the way back home over here. What was it? Colossians 4:12. Let me look at it and see. Yeah. Colossians 4:12. Yeah, that's it. Look, yeah, that's the one right there. It says Epaphras. That's a country way of saying that, Epaphras. That's what I'd call it. It says, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Watch this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. When you're laboring in the Lord for prayer, with prayers, prayer for, do you see that verse right there? God's counting that. You'll get, if you're anything like me, you'll get down on your knees to pray for somebody. And something will tell you in your mind, that prayer is hitting the ceiling. It's not, God's not going to hear that. You know what I've learned? I've prayed stuff before. And I said, this prayer is not even going to get, I said in my mind, this prayer is not even going to get answered. I've wasted my time. I don't even know why I'm praying. I'm so bad. Why would even God even listen to me? And then you know what happens? That prayer gets answered, not because I've done anything, but it's because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason He hears us anyway. His Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. And you know what happens? You get down and you pray, God bless them. And all of a sudden you find out whatever that was in that situation got answered. And you realize there, it's not your faith that's being rewarded. We're living, the Bible says, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God rewarding the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ operating in and through you. So you get down, just get down and pray whether you think it's going to get answered or not. I've gotten to where I ask God for things. Look, I'd rather ask Him and not get it. Well, when I meet the Lord, I want to be able to say, well, at least I asked for it, instead of Him saying, well, if you'd asked for this, you could have got this, that, and other thing. I'm just saying, Lord, bless them. Bless my folks. Bless them. Take good care of them and stuff. Why? I don't want to get up there and the Lord say, I wish you'd pray for so-and-so a little bit more. See, you never know. Why you say sometimes it's a sin not to pray for people. Samuel told Saul, he said, I'm not going to sin against the Lord not praying and ceasing to pray for you. Sometimes you need to pray for others. He said he's praying for them fervently. We almost done here. Let me get back to another verse in Ecclesiastes. he says over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, at least I get paid. He said, this is my portion. This was my portion of all my labor. Now, man, I wanted to get to that. Let me try something here in Psalm 17. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But I'm going to give you two verses here and then we'll close. Psalm 17, verse 14. There's a lot of tribulational stuff here, a lot of prophecy. But what he's talking about, the wicked people. And in verse 14, he says, from men which are thy hand, there's a sermon, O Lord, from men of the world, okay, he's looking at, Solomon's looking at things from a worldly perspective, which have their portion in this life. He said, well, this is my portion. See how he's looking at it from an earthly perspective. All I've got is things in this life. Your labor's going way further than that if you're doing something in the Lord. Yes. Way for the portion of this life, in whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Well, it just looks like they've got it and they're leaving things. Let me tell you something about leaving things. Some of the best things parents have ever done is just left everything to some type of thing for the Lord, some charity, some missionary group or something like that, some church somewhere doing something. Why? A lot of kids, I don't know what it is about families fighting over stuff, but it's a sickening thing.
Yes, it is.
To see kids fight over rings and stuff like that. And my. Just leave it all to the Lord. Let the Lord. Why? Look, a lot of times, a lot of people can't appreciate things that somebody else has worked all their life for, and that's a sad thing. We ought not fight over stuff like that. You ought to be glad that they got it. Well, so-and-so got the house. Okay, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, man. That's great. Wow, there's some people. You know what? One thing that hinders so much harmony is people refuse to be proud for somebody else and be glad for somebody else. If you'd ever get to the place when you see somebody doing well, doing better than you, say, man, praise the Lord. You like to see them do good. I just don't understand. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know, but I've got plenty. I had to take 2 years of that stuff in school, and it's some weird thinking out there. But anyway, I don't know what's behind not being glad for people. Why can't you be glad to see somebody do well? I can't get that. Like I said, maybe somebody knows. I just can't get that. But let me tell you what's wrong with him. He gets down here and he said, this was my portion of all my labor. You can jot this verse down. I'm going to read verse 11 right quick, and then we'll close. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, what a depressing thing. All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I don't know about that. See that's an earthly perspective. Let me give you one perspective from a man that had all kinds of things happen to him. Now jot this verse down in your margin and think on this. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Here's the wisest man on earth at that time who hasn't learned to be content with all the things he has. You wonder why these actors and actresses take pills and overdose on pills and just after they've got millions and millions of dollars. Happiness is not wrapped up in things. It's wrapped up in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His fellowship and enjoying friendships and enjoying fellowships and things like that. That's where true happiness is. Whether you have a whole lot of stuff or whether you have nothing, happiness is available to people who will put God first. That shows you right there in that verse. Here's a man who built the temple, man. Who had silver, the Bible said. They didn't even count the silver. It's just like rocks out in the driveway. So much silver when he was king. And he couldn't be happy. You know what that tells you? If you will go out of here and enjoy the Lord and put Him first, you'll actually be able to enjoy your labor and realize something. It's going to go way out further, way past anything you can see here. But if you want to look at things from an earthly perspective, you see what your attitude, you say, how can I tell I'm looking at things from an earthly perspective? If you think, well, vanity, I'm going to leave this to whoever, and they're going to take this and just, no telling what, squander it, you know? Okay, well now you're looking at it from an earthly perspective. Why? Because once you're gone, what does it matter what they do anyhow?
That's right.
You're gone. You're with the Lord. But the earthly perspective will come in there and mess your mind up on it. You won't think right. So thank the Lord we got the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Brother Tom, if you would close us out.